Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Thank you. Yes, it's our third year anniversary show. HR Power Hour is proud to have our third year, and it is because of you, the listeners, that we are so successful. We are now broadcasting to over 35 states across the U.S. We're averaging 6 to 10,000 listeners per month, and that's because of you, the listening audience. Yes, I have to thank our guests. Our guests have been fabulous. They've come from across the globe. We had some international guests in 2014-15, and we're even going to have more for 2015-16. We're very, very excited about the potential, very, very excited about the opportunity, and we are really excited about things to come here in 2015-16. First thing I'd like to do today, as you know, it's our anniversary show. I want to thank our sponsors, because without them, this show would not be possible. First, we want to thank Jackson Lewis Law Firm. All we do is work. Great law firm. Second, we want to thank MaineHR.com. They're a great partner, a strategic partner here, and we're very, very happy to have them on board. We want to thank Jobs in the U.S. We want to thank Rudman & Winchell, counselors at law. And we want to thank Sheehan Finney, Bass & Green, the business law firm. These sponsors have been critical to our success. They've been something that is a pleasure to have them on board. I got to tell you, when I talk to them, they keep on talking about how awesome it is that people talk about the show with them. They've heard from you. Keep that going, ladies and gentlemen. Keep that going. We want to continue to build our audience and continue to build and provide information for you. HR Power Hour has become a really educational HR show, and we try to provide you information as well as thoughts and processes that you don't hear everywhere else. You don't have the time. You don't necessarily have the money to go to all the conferences across the U.S. and across the globe. We're going to continue to try to drive and build guests that can provide some really important content to you, the listening audience. So you don't have to do all that. You can just stay here each week and hear great content. So what I'd like to do, as we have done in the past, today on the HR Power Hour, is do a special anniversary show, kind of recapping some of the highlights of the last year. And Debbie Davis, my amazing producer, that's right, you know, I've said it before, without a good producer, the show would not happen. But Debbie Davis, our awesome producer, is going to throw in some bloopers today. That's right. She, as you know, every anniversary show highlight some of the mistakes your host, yours truly here, makes. And she does it with glee. But it's okay. I like it. It's all right. It's exactly what I need to do. And it keeps me humble. That's the important part to do. So she's going to do that. We're going to have some fun today. So let's go back to 2015, July 26. We started the year with an international approach. That's right, the European approach to HR. It was Mike Burgundy, Managing Director of Cemento, and he had this to say about some hot trends in the European HR market.
I mean, most of the recruiting businesses in the UK are reporting that business, I think for most of them for a long time now, is good and on the up. I mean, it's interesting, David, because certainly over the last year or so, so some of the employment figures, I think, in the UK have been a little bit misleading, because we've seen, whilst there have been significantly more vacancies created, a lot of them have been part-time, and a lot of them have been zero-hours contracts, sort of casual contracts with no actual guarantee of paid work. So whilst I think there have been a lot more vacancies created over the last few years, it's been slightly misleading. What I would say now, though, is I think we're seeing more full-time permanent vacancies being created, which is clearly good for the economy and good for the job seeker.
Blooper.
And you know what? I'm so excited today because I'm sitting in the... where the hell am I? Next in August, we had some great guests. First was Dante Vespignani from SCORE, and then Susan Wasserot, Director of Legislative Affairs, Department of Labor. She talked about HR legislation that really can affect you, the HR professional. Then our next guest was Dr. Ed Liu, CEO of the Jackson Laboratory. He talked about leadership and career paths, and here were some highlights of what he said.
Even in the scientific world, there's a wide range of preferences of our workforce. There are some people who thrive in urban areas, and there are others who just would rather not be around too many cars. And so one has to be selective about identifying those individuals whose spirit comports with ours. So I'd like to say that what we're trying to create in Bar Harbor is the artist colony for science. So there are people who are artists who would like to be in a contemplative environment, working together in a collegial environment towards the common goals that we have.
Bloober.
And you know what, Debbie? I have no idea what I'm going to say now because I realize I got 30 seconds to go. 30 seconds short. You know how that is? And I went, suddenly paused and went, I have nothing more to say.
All right.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Move.
You may continue.
Then mid-August, we brought in Cara Bergeron, president of Bergeron Associates. She talked about her book, People Succession. Succession planning has been a big hot topic in 2015, and she brought some great information and context. We then ended the month with a replay of the great Dr. Jackie Freiberg, concierge of great companies, and she talked about notice, lead, and disrupt. September came, 2014, and we started out with lessons from Market Basket. You may remember the end of 2014, there was a big Market Basket uproar. Well, Peter Bennett, labor and employment attorney from the Bennett Law Firm, talked about some of the lessons from Market Basket that were learned and how employers can make differences every day by some of the things that happened with that big uprising. Second was the culture of philanthropy. Carrie Zeiss, CEO of the United Way of Greater Portland, and Sarah Ruth Lindquist from the Maine's Women's Fund talked about how to create a culture of philanthropy. Here are a couple of their highlights.
So one thing we do know is that companies are increasingly turning towards aligning their own products with their corporate social responsibility goals. And so as employers are aligned with the needs in the community, as employees are engaged in that alignment and can connect to it and touch it, what we find is that there's higher levels of engagement, higher levels of retention and leadership development in the staff in general, and that it actually becomes a good business decision. Increasingly, too, as you know, the labor market changes and millennials are entering in, what we also find is there's a shift in the way that that generation wants to interact with their employers. And they're willing to take different pay structures, for instance. Like what we know is they'll take up to 15% less to work in an organization where they feel like their values are aligned with what the organization is delivering. So there is really a very good business logic case there to be made.
And what's really neat is to be able to see the interaction of those generations and what they learn from each other and how they get energized from each other in the course of their volunteer work. Both groups bring so much to the table in terms of what they can do to support an organization like the Women's Fund or the United Way. It's just an amazing kind of synergy that I think it'll be interesting to see what the Gen brings to the table. But what we're seeing now is very vibrant.
Blooper.
This will not be a blooper, by the way.
No, because I'm thinking of words that start with the word F, like fire truck, and end in U, like
door.
University. Fire truck university, French fly university, flaming flamingo university.
Oh, we're going to have fun today.
Yes. mid-September, we talked about education partnerships and an end run around Obamacare. Obamacare is still hot today. Information continues to come out each and every day, but at this particular point, we talked with Jim Edholm, president and author of BBI Benefits, an end run around Obamacare. Then we spoke with Jonathan Kent, vice president of Aromath and Thomas College. They're doing great things up there. He talked about how business and universities and colleges can really partner together to ensure that they have the best talent available when you're hiring from colleges and universities. Finally, we talked with Jim Reedy, employment attorney at our sponsor, Sheehan Finney Bassett Green. And he gave a legal update and talked about a great program, an online system called the New Hampshire LaborNet. Here are a couple things that Jim said that still are relevant today.
It's a part of a national trend. We saw a bill in Congress in the last 2 years, and we've seen it in other states as well. But there was a notion out there, and it hit the media outlets about 6 to 8 months ago, as to whether or not employers were asking applicants and employees for their passwords, their usernames on social media so they could look at their activities, and to the extent that those things were private, asking applicants and employees to lower their privacy settings. So there were several competing bills in Congress and also in even our state legislature here in New Hampshire, but this bill did pass. It's House Bill 1407, and it will be effective the end of September 2014. And basically what it provides is that employers of all types and sizes in New Hampshire, meaning that if you have at least one employee, you're covered by this law, it would provide that you cannot ask applicants and employees for their username or their password to social media. And it talks about personal social media accounts. And so distinguished from those social media accounts you might be using as a part of your work. Now, what if you're using your Facebook account, by way of example, on your PC at work? Is that something that they can monitor? Yes, they can monitor it. The employer can monitor that activity going forward because it's the employer's computer system. However, they cannot ask you as an applicant or an employee for your username or password or to lower your privacy settings so they can see even more of your activity. Now, if I'm an employer in New Hampshire and I look at that and I watch my employee spending a great deal of time on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram or the other things, but I still can't see what they're looking at, I can still say, work time is for work, and I see that you're spending a lot of time on these other activities, which clearly are not work-related. The problem with some of the monitoring activities that employers still can do is the National Labor Relations Board at the same time has said, if an employee on his or her own time or even on work time comments on the terms and conditions of employment on social media, they may not be disciplined as a result of that activity. Now, there's still a question as to whether or not if they do that on work time, again, work time is for work, whether or not they can be disciplined, but the National Labor Relations Board is taking a very broad view, saying that that is protected, concerted activity, meaning that if someone is talking about their terms and conditions of employment, and they're not just talking about themselves, but they're making a statement perhaps that would apply more broadly to other of their coworkers, that's protected activity, even in a non-union environment, especially in a non-union environment. So this is a developing area of the law. New Hampshire has taken a step forward with regard to prohibiting the activity. But as you know, David, and we've informally surveyed HR groups in the last couple of years and asked, how many of you ask applicants or employees for their password, their username, or ask them to lower their privacy settings? And I must say, I'm out there a lot and talking to lots of groups, and I know you are. I've never seen anyone admit to it. Now, they could also say, you know, I don't watch right. television, I don't eat junk food, and we know that they do.
Yeah.
But our sense is that actually was not a widespread problem. But the law has taken a step forward saying you cannot ask for these things based upon some sense that there is some activity like this going on out there.
Blooper.
Actually, right. That came out pretty good.
Surprising, isn't it?
Yes, when I actually think and use my God-given cranium. In October, it was a great month for the HR Power Hour. We had a big first. We brought on the big, heavy-hitting candidates for the Maine gubernatorial race. First, we kicked it off with a debate at Thomas College. All three gubernatorial candidates, Governor Paul LePage, Independent Elliot Cutler, and Mike Meeshew, the Democrat, all came forward to debate issues of the day. Then we got up personal with the gubernatorial candidates. First, we interviewed Governor Paul LePage. Quite a story. 4 years already in office, looking for his second term. We talked to him about what difference it would make if he was reelected and some of his successes and some of the things that he would do differently in his next 4 years. He went on to win the 2014 gubernatorial election, but you heard it here on the HR Power Hour when he kicked it off. And here was one of his highlights.
What we make a big difference is we have to be willing to understand that investment capital goes where it's welcomed and stays where it's appreciated. And what I mean by that is, for instance, Airbus is going to Alabama because Alabama is going to provide them energy at 4 cents a kilowatt hour, whereas in Maine it'd be 15. We have to become more competitive in our energy. South Carolina got Boeing, they got Michelin, and they got several other companies. And the reason they're getting them is they don't have an income tax. So our tax structure has to be formulated so it is attractive to people that want to invest in companies. For instance, last year I proposed to have a tax incentive for companies that would come in and create 1,000 jobs and invest $15 million. And the democratically controlled legislature voted it down. Well, unfortunately, those companies we were looking at are now in South Carolina. Boeing told us, if you want us to come to Maine, this is the type of things we're looking for. So we tried to structure it so we could attract these companies, and our legislature said no. Some of the other things that we need to do. Texas Instruments, for instance. I spoke to the CEO, and I said, what can we do to help you buying National Semiconductor in Portland? He says, Governor, my biggest issue with Maine is I can't get my middle managers from our plants in Texas to take promotions in Maine because they look at Maine as a 8% cut in pay because of our income tax structure.
Right.
So what we need to do is we need to structure our taxes competitive with other states. Many, many states now are looking at eliminating income tax and looking more to consumption and property taxes to fund their governments. And so we just need to look at ways that we can improve our customer service and structure our tax codes and our cost of doing business in Maine. Because we are where we're located, we have to be more competitive, and we need to get a look at things that we can reduce prices on. Energy is a simple one. Natural gas. Right now, we are pushing to go to bring natural gas to Maine on a pipeline. It would reduce our costs significantly in doing business and heating our homes. We are about a third higher than the national average. We can bring ourselves down to the national average, and could be competing with the rest of the country. These are the things we need to do.
Blooper. How many words do you want this to be?
Two like lines.
A million?
Yeah, 16 words at least, minimum.
Mine was short. Might not have been sexy, but it was short.
I mean, this isn't sexy either, trust me.
No sex here.
Am I being taped? No.
Yes!
Oh, lucky me. Then we brought an interview with gubernatorial candidate and independent candidate, Elliot Cutler. He came in with some great ideas. He wanted to make Maine better. He's had a distinguished career. He's out of Bangor, Maine. And he really talked about some of the things that he sees were important to the state. While he didn't win, he certainly was a great candidate, and we are proud to have him on this show. We were then scheduled to interview Democratic candidate Mike Meeshew. Unfortunately, at the last minute, he had to cancel his appearance, but we are thankful for his opportunity to potentially come on the show. And with the election over, we are proud to say that September was one of our strongest months in terms of being able to get information out to the voting public in the state of Maine. We're proud to have done that. We will continue to do that year in and year out. And even in 2016, we're going to continue to look at trying to talk to the candidates and see what can really make a difference for HR today. We then went into November 2014. We talked to Tim DeBrio, president of the Seacoast Human Resource Association, and Laurie Glaude, president of the Manchester Human Resource Association. They both talked about why HR associations matter. You have your opportunity to spend your dollars many, many places. And they really made a difference and a call to action for you to go to the HR associations and make a difference. Next, we talked about the new healthcare insurance landscape. We brought in two great guests, Keith Fernando and Tony Cabana, both from Cross Insurance. And they talked about what the difference is today and what you need to think about because there were changing happening in the ACA. They provided you valuable insight into what was going to be happening in 2016's ACA. Then we went and had one of our favorite guests back, Deborah Weiss Ford, and she talked about a topic that doesn't get a lot of play, workplace romance. It was a great show. She talked about love, sex, and the employer. And here is a highlight.
I do occasionally, at least once a year, I will have a client that asks me to write a love contract. And so I do.
It's kind of like a prenup.
It is kind of like a prenup. And you really have to question the validity of it. But I think the point is really to get the employees to consider the consequences of a relationship that goes south. I think it's more to heighten awareness and more as an education piece than it is really for the contractual implications of it.
Do you think this is, now, just to follow up on this a little bit more, is this when two people are still going to be in their same roles, or is it even if they're going to be separated into two different departments or divisions?
Both, actually. So even if they're going to be separated, and some of these contracts can be rather lengthy. In other words, the general provisions are that they're advised that the company has a policy, and many employers who do this will attach a copy of their policy to the agreement. So you're getting the employee to acknowledge that the company has a policy about consensual relationships and to acknowledge that they'll abide by the policy. It goes on to generally represent that the relationship is consensual and that the individuals have not violated the company's policies prohibiting sexual harassment. Again, acknowledging that the company has a policy, acknowledging that these two employees know that they take responsibility.
Clauses if something goes wrong?
It does have clauses if something goes wrong. They will inform HR, for example, in writing that the relationship has terminated. They will agree that they will not violate any of the company's policies on courtesy and getting along with others in the workplace and not taking retaliatory actions. Some of them, Dave, are actually even more interesting because they talk about keeping a professional demeanor at work while the couple is involved. In other words, hugging or kissing or holding hands or touching each other in a sexually suggestive manner in the workplace. My clients want me to put in something like that because it makes other employees uncomfortable and goes to this favoritism issue as well.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour 3rd Anniversary Show on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
I love mosquitoes. They're so cute. their cute little wings and pokey little mouth. I just want to cuddle with one. Make it my little mosquito pet. I'll call him Skeety. Said no one ever. There's mosquito repellent, and then there's mosquito dead. Kill them with Terminex Mosquito Service. Kills more than 90% in 2 to 3 weeks, and it's safe to use around people and pets. Call 1-800-TERMINIX today. 1-800-TERMINIX. Death to mosquitoes.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay tees are just $19.99 each when you buy two or more.
Welcome back to the third anniversary of the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com. We ended the month with Betty Francis, VP of Human Resources for the Wilmington Trust Company and on the board of directors for the SHRM organization, and she talked about being an HR influencer. We kicked off December talking with two great authors, Thomas Dowd, who's been a guest on this show before, and his new book, The Time Management Manifesto, and Susan Dench, founder and president of the ConnectWorks Academy, and her new book, ConnectWorking. We then spoke with AARP Main State Director, Lori Parham, and she did part two of her take of hiring over 50. It's an important demographic, and we can't forget about it in the HR world. We then talked about an engagement report with Don McPherson, president of Modern Survey. He gave the 2014 State of the Engagement Report produced by his organization. And Bud Bernstein talked about the 2015 HR conferences that are going to be happening. And if anybody knows, they went to the 2015 20th anniversary HR conference here only a few months ago. It was a great event. Finally, we kicked off 2015 in January speaking to Joe Frodsham, principal of JBKF Group, and his book, Make It Work, Navigate Your Career Without Leaving Your Organization. We then talked to HR professional chief imaginative officer Ken Lazotte from Emerson Consulting Group. He talked about why HR leaders should become published professionals. We then brought back an update on why diets are failing us seemed appropriate in January, and we talked to Peter Greenlaw, author and speaker of the book, Why Diets Are Failing Us. And he told us some great new information in this critical wellness area. And here's a highlight.
To your point, what has caused this dramatic epidemic decline in the nutritional density of food? Well, it started almost 100 years ago. Less than that even. Let's say in the 1930s, an average acre of land in the Midwest would yield about 40 bushels of corn. By 1960, it was 200 bushels. Then we used herbicides and pesticides, which basically destroyed the soil's ability to break down minerals in particular to be absorbed by the plant. See, this is the biggest fallacy. Then you have soil that's much weaker. Now the wind comes and blows the soil away. We have floods that, you know, pull the soil away. Right now, David, in this country, we're using up, listen to me carefully, we're losing the top soil 10 times faster than we're replacing it. There are estimates now that in 80 years, the whole North America would be a dust bowl if we keep going the way we are, because we pretty much have destroyed the soil. And yes, we're getting these huge yields using chemical fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, but at what cost to nature, at what cost to the soil? See, that's what people don't understand. We have already destroyed the soil, and now it's getting worse and worse and worse. Because imagine, if the soil is so depleted, and you went from yielding 40 bushels of corn on the same acre, now you get 200 bushels of corn, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're going to completely devastate and bankrupt the soil of nutrients. That's exactly what's going on. That's why you need 9 apples. That's why you need 42 bowls of spinach, because the soil has been literally devastated over the last 80, 90 years.
Bloober.
That's on the next HR Power Hour.
Gusto with that one, last line,
That's
please.
That's on the next HR Power Hour.
Going the wrong way.
On the next HR Power Hour. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Finally, we ended January with multi-generational businesses. So many businesses in this great country are family-owned businesses. And Steve Tenney, Senior Vice President and Certified Portfolio Manager at UBS Financial Services, did a report on generational success in business. Three generations minimally in terms of why it has become so successful. And HR is a key part of it. We kicked off February 2015 with our great friend Peter Lowe, attorney with Brown and Isaacson. He gave us the annual legal update. We laughed, we cried, and we had some good fun. We then brought James Harris from Sheehan Finney Bass and Green to talk about bulletproofing your documentation. It was a very informative show, and he talked about some of the things you need to remember when you're making sure your documentation is bulletproof. We then talked with Joy Rothschild, Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels. She talked about culture, growing your garden, and here was a highlight.
Yes, the power of one is our philosophy that every single time a guest interacts with an associate, they can delight them or they can make it an unpleasant stay. So if a customer has a wonderful check-in experience, but they check into their guest room and the room is dirty or something's been left behind by a guest, that means housekeeping didn't do their job, and that will upset the guest. So we try to tell our associates, first of all, every single one of you has a very important role in this hotel. You know, the person washing the dishes, their job is just as important as the person that's taking your credit card, because everybody is a chain. The other thing that the power of one says to associates is make decisions that benefit the guest. If a guest comes down to check out and there's a movie on their bill and the guest says, I didn't watch a movie, take the movie off the bill. Don't argue with the guest. Don't say, I need to go get a manager. You know, we're giving up a $10 movie, but we're making a customer for life. And so we really work hard to reinforce this philosophy, and two of my favorite ways that we do this is every week we post on our company intranet the power of one of the week, and executives are assigned a hotel to call, and we call the associate dining room. There's one in every hotel. If an associate answers the phone when we call and we say, what's the power of one of the week? And they recite it, and let's say this week it's thank you, use your common sense, that associate gets $100. Everybody's waiting for the phone call, and everybody in the hotel knows what the power of one of the week is for the company, and it keeps it alive. And so we don't just have these service points that we roll out and put people on their own. We're constantly reinforcing them, which is, you know, what I would equate to, you know, you're constantly watering the garden. You're constantly trying to find ways to keep it alive. And, you know, when we first conceived of the power of one, it was back in the late 80s, and when we told the managers we're going to let associates make decisions and write things off bills, the managers were horrified. They said, you know, Joy, somebody's going to have a $20,000 wedding and they had a bad experience in one restaurant and the desk clerk is going to give them a free wedding. I said, that is not going to happen. Let's trust our associates more than that. We've not had any problems like that at all.
Bloober.
Wow, why am I struggling, Debbie, today with this? Thank God for editing. We finally ended February with a topic called Otherwise Engaged. John Graspari, author of Otherwise Engaged, How Leaders Can Get a Firm Grip on Employee Engagement and Other Key Intangibles, was a great guest. We then went into March 2015, and we kicked the month off with Jean Paquette, Commissioner of the Maine Department of Labor, who gave us an update on the highlights of what was going to be happening at the Department of Labor in 2015. She talked about new initiatives and new programs that the Governor's Office and the Department of Labor were focusing on. We then had a great conversation about franchising as an alternative employment option. Chris Sinkar from FranChoice came in and talked about how franchises can make a big difference in your life. It's an alternative option that many people are choosing today, and here are some of the key areas he focused on.
You know, David, I think one of the easiest things to understand in franchising is franchising gives you a head start on starting your business. So I look at career choices this way. All of us start our careers on one highway, which is employment. At some point, we're going to get to a stopping point, and we're going to take a break, we're going to stretch our legs, and then we're going to evaluate what that next step in our career should be. If you decide that you want to change roads and you want to become a business owner, I think that franchising gives you an interesting opportunity to be able to combine the power and the opportunity of a startup with the safety of something that's already existing. And I think franchising does the best of combining both of those together. You're taking an established business model that a franchise company has already developed. They've refined and they've proven to work over and over again in multiple locations. And now you're taking that plan and you're implementing it locally in one individual market. So I think that franchising allows you the benefits of business ownership without having to take all the risks of starting up a business from scratch. It's a nice in-between.
Bloober.
Well, we're talking with. How about if I just wake up whenever I want, Deb? And you're listening to the HR Power Hour third anniversary show on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next? What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hi, this is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So, find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
Welcome back to the third anniversary of the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. We then got a legislative update from Julie Rabinowitz, Director of Communication from the Maine Department of Labor. She told us what would be going in front of the legislative committees this year, and that was great information for HR professionals. We then ended the month with recruiting trends with Rick Dacquery, president of Dacquery & Associates. He gave us some trends that are currently happening in the country and here in the great state of Maine. In April 2015, we talked to John Hammer, partner of Rudman & Winchell, and he talked about the top 10 employment-related mistakes, why you should know them now before you make them. Then we spoke with Kim Dakin, founder of Voice Into Learning, LLC, and she talked about her new training game, Shift POV. We then ended the month with 100 great conversations with Laura Lobovich, Chief Executive Officer of the Career Strategy Group. And here are a couple of her top conversations for career success.
I think people who have been laid off and who have been through a job search before, I think that they're more apt to not let this happen, you know, again, because it's so painful to not have a network and then have to sort of create one from scratch or reach out to a network that you haven't spoken to in 10, 15 years than it is to just stay connected with them sort of ongoingly and then tap into them when you need them. So it is really important. I just tell people that, you know, 10, 15 minutes a day on LinkedIn is often all you need to watch what's going on with your network and stay connected with them. I make it a habit, and I coach my clients to make it a habit to go onto LinkedIn every day and go through the news feed and find out what your network is doing, what's important to them. Is it an anniversary? Is it a birthday? Did they post a status? Are they asking for help? What is it that you can do for them today on an ongoing basis? It will be so much less painful for you in a job search if you do this every day, even 10 to 15 minutes a day.
And when you talk about the book, one of the things you mention in the book is you talk about something called a resume drop and run. It's an unusual term, kind of funny, but I did notice that, you know, this whole interview, we've been talking about drinking from the well, drinking in, and never mind, anyways. But we're talking about you funny terms go together. Resume drop and run, what does that mean?
It's the natural instinct to just hand your resume to someone who asks about how your job search is and just say, here's my resume, you know, can you, you know, look at it? Or can you take it to someone or hand it to someone? And it's this feeling that I believe my clients and job seekers get when they hand their resume to someone and they believe that something will come of that experience, when in fact, generally nothing does. The people we're handing it to, they're not invested in us necessarily. They may really want to help us, but they also may not know how. The resume may not be clear. You know, it may not have a target at the top. That person may want to help, but that resume ends up right in a pile of nothing, right? It ends up on their counter. It helps wipe up the orange juice. It really does nothing. And so job seekers who sort of drop their resume and run and hope that something will happen with it is a very natural thing to do, but it's something that I really tell people they have to nip in the bud. It's not a productive behavior. And so instead, it's really important that job seekers get extremely clear on what it is that they want, even down to the level, the title, the target companies, potentially, the industry. And then not hand their resume to someone, you know, expecting something to happen, but actually hold on to it. Like, almost like, you know, you have the power if you have the resume, right? So, and ask them, you know, hey, I'm looking for a job at X, Y, and Z company, and I wonder if you know anyone, would you be willing to facilitate an introduction? If they say, you know, sure, let me take your resume and I'll hand it to them, you can say, great, I'd be happy to give you my resume. Would you mind giving me the name of that person and their contact info just so I can follow up with them after, just to see how, you know, how things are going? And that way you're always sort of keeping what I call your job search power. And so the resume drop and run gives it away, and that strategy that I just mentioned sort of allows you to hold onto it and to remain in the driver's seat in your job search.
Blooper.
We're going to be talking about the new Massachusetts. Wow. We kicked off May 2015 with our good friend Patrick Lynch, president of the Frontier Group, and he talked about corporate divorce. No, it isn't as sinister as you would think, but it was informative and great information for our listening audience. We then talked to Katie Tynan. She's the managing partner of MindBridge Partners, and she talked about self-employment success, being a free agent, the independent professional's roadmap to self-employment success. Then we talked with Phil Harriman, partner and chartered financial consultant with LaBelle & Harriman, and he talked about the ever-importance of succession planning. We then ended the month with Rob Notman. He's from Canada, from Optimum Talent. And he talked about Canadian talent trends. They're our sisters to the north, but they have a big influence in the United States. And we found out what made a difference in Canada and how things are slightly different, but yet very similar to here in the U.S. In June, we kicked off with Nancy Morris, Maine Health Management Coalition. And she talked about high deductible health care plans, the good, the bad, and the alternative. And here is one of her highlights.
Well, we actually just finished focus group studies with employees in Portland and Bangor, and we were testing out some ideas that we were having for new plan ideas. And in regards to the high deductible plan, we found that there were sort of five common responses to the high deductible health plan. One was that people felt like they were frontline soldiers in the war against high health care costs, and they were ill-equipped and had very little intelligence in which to win the war. They wanted to win the war, but they were having difficulty because they didn't have good information. They couldn't find the information even when they tried. Then I think there's another group of people who I call the avoiders, and those are people who are so petrified of encountering the situation I just talked about, is going in for one service and then being ordered several other services, that they just avoid any services at all. And that is what a lot of people are worried about could lead to higher costs later on down the line. Then I think there's another kind of response to the high deductible plan, and that is the patient who feels entitled. And I say that not because maybe they always feel entitled, but what we heard in the focus group studies is, after I've spent all this money on putting in the deductible, once I hit that, the sky's the limit. I'm getting anything I want. I'm going to go in and get services I probably don't need because I already spent it and I might need it next year, so I might as well go in and get it now. And so I think that kind of is not exactly what we were trying to do. I think there are also adapters, and the adapters are really, you know, they're trying to win. And so I met a woman the other day who told me a story of going into her eye doctor. The eye doctor ordered drops for her and said, you're lucky. I have a $25 coupon for that prescription for you. I'm going to give it to you. So she went to the pharmacy, and the bill for the eye drops was $2,000 minus the $25 coupon she had. And she said, I told the pharmacist, put it back on the shelf. I am not going to do this. And she said, I drove back to the doctor's office. I waited in the waiting room, and I said, you know, when she has a minute, I want to see her again. And she went to the doctor and said, look, I'm never using you again. You didn't know the price of that service. I went in there. I showed them. My bill was almost $2,000 for those drops. Is there another alternative? And guess what? There was another alternative, and it was about what the coupon was worth. So she went from a $2,000 bill to a $25 bill because she was very active. But that takes a lot of guts. And the lady who told me this story used to run a hospital. So I think that's not a common thing.
Blooper.
Oh, jeez. Okay, yeah.
I just realized.
I'll cut and paste this one too, Dave.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Because I'm good at that.
Yes, you are.
She's a cut and paster, pasting
on down Dave's mistakes. And then on June 13th, Charles Collins, the executive director for Southern Maine's Hudson College, talks about adult and professional development tools. There are so many things out there that can help your employees at reasonable cost get the education they need. Then on June 20th, we spoke to Mark Ventola, and he talked about the new mandatory Massachusetts sick leave law. It was going into effect July 1st. Were you ready? And then our final year program was July 4th. We had Robert Osgood, Emergency Medical Director for Tufts Medical Center, talked about a vicarious HR rehearsal, and he provided incredible examples like these as to how to make a vicarious HR rehearsal work to your advantage.
And I like that word, crisis. I think that's an important word to use because it's scalable. You know, when we talk about those kinds of things, especially in emergency management, you know, we have things that are small scale, we have things that are large scale. But, you know, if we train ourselves and we train our brain and we actually train our brain to work in conjunction with our bodies, then it doesn't really matter what that crisis is, whether it's large or small. You can respond and you can be prepared. You know, this is one of the things that I'm a big proponent of. There's a big difference between reacting and responding. Reacting is very reflexive. It's, you know, this is our natural tendency. But, you know, if we plan in advance and we train our brains to be better prepared, then we can respond during critical times and not react.
Blooper. Well, it got him out of the office, right?
Well, actually, that's right. It could be a business meeting, right?
That's what I was going for.
Of course.
Yes, that's what I was going
with
for.
Lunch.
Thank you, Debbie, for thank you for following along.
With lunch.
With lunch included in there.
Well, I think the
somewhere.
Host and the producer should absolutely get lunch.
Oh,
no question about that.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. See, we got to plan ahead next time.
It's too funny.
You got to do a better job of bribing your guests.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, I don't have to bribe them too much lately.
No. He barely had to ask Debbie.
they were frothing at the mouth. It was actually a sad moment, really. Really was. As we end this show today, I want to thank the listening audience, who is the key to our success, for 3 great years of the HR Power Hour. As we kick off our 4th year, I'm looking forward to more great guests, both local, domestic, and international, to provide you educational experiences and educational content to continue to grow you in your HR profession. Business leaders can continue to learn about HR and what makes it tick in your organization. I want to thank my producer, Debbie Davis, our sponsors, Jackson Lewis, Redmond Winchell, Sheehan Finney Bass and Green, MaineHR.com, JobsInTheUSA.com, and I want to thank all of you one last time for listening each week. We're coming back at you with more information in 2016. Thank you so much. And I also want to thank my Career Management Associates team. Their partnership, their great work in human resources, search, outplacement, staffing, coaching, and training is the reason I can do this show. They're an awesome team, and I'm proud of them. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.